Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 17th on the West Coast, now December the 18th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome everyone listening to us tonight, or this afternoon, depending on where you are in the world, on Wind Talkers Radio Network. And also on blogtalkradio.com. Those of you who are waiting for the follow-up article on the Dwight Eisenhower story will be very pleased to learn that we will be very, very soon posting this on my website, directlightproductions.com. I've had a miraculous day of research. The article becomes more powerful with every moment. And just as I think I've got everything wrapped up, I trip on another startling fact that's going to blow some mind. So we are definitely looking forward to you reading this. I'm definitely looking forward to having you read it, and we're going to discover the truth together. That's as simple as I can put it. It's definitely going to be worth the wait. There's a lot going on in the world financial community, and I direct you again to my website, directlightproductions.com. You can scroll down on breaking stories all the way to the bottom, and there's a couple of stories that are just recently posted. They're actually written by publisher, editor of the International Currency Review, Christopher Story. Mr. Story has been on target with what's going on in the world financial community, specifically in regard to the prosperity funds, the sovereign funds that are some people call Nasara. There were several groups of these funds, and some of these monies that have been stolen also entail the tier 1 through 10 payments that go to the various countries that have invested many years ago expecting to get a return on this money. The monies were stolen. They have been recouped. Accounts have been frozen. Mr. Story reports that former Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Henry Hank Paulson, has been arrested and taken to Bermuda to basically incapacitate his ability to interfere with the delivery of these funds to the various banks and financial institutions that have been waiting many years for their initial investments to pay off. And these funds are intended to be distributed worldwide. This is a very complicated topic. We're not going to go into it in great detail, but what I suggest you do, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, go to the Breaking Stories page, and then when you get to the bottom of the page, you'll see one particular article that came out a couple of days ago that begins with $47 trillion lien. Okay, the Chinese basically are exercising a lien over the Federal Reserve. They have already won a world court case to recoup funds that have been stolen from them. This ties into Fort Hood. Mr. Story also writes about what happened at Fort Hood. And I suggest, even though the story has dropped out of the news, it's not being paid any attention to now. Instead, the news has another scandal to report in the story of Tiger Woods' marital infidelities. And as a result, you're not getting the truth about what's going on financially. That article that I refer to about Christopher Story's work is $47 trillion lien against the Treasury and the Fed. Also, there is another article. There are actually two more articles. Treasury Secretary read his rights and tagged. Timothy Geithner has been warned about obfuscating what's going on and impeding the delivery of these prosperity funds. And there have been several people shot and killed. It was said earlier on that these were bodyguards of Henry Kissinger. And Christopher Story rightfully asks the question, what business does Henry Kissinger have in need of bodyguards? Of course, when you're a criminal and you're robbing the Fed and the Treasury blind and stacking all kinds of debt on us Americans, you're committing treason and a criminal act. And the guy is not even an American. If you want to get into genealogy on him, I can assure you he's not an American. Yet he runs the show at the White House through many administrations. So, that said, we're going to bring on tonight's guest. He has his own radio show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. It's called A Marine's Disquisition. He's a researcher, a writer, quite knowledgeable in the area of law and history, even electronics, back from his days. He's former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, and he's my very good friend by way of the late Marianne Ponder, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I want to welcome my Marines around the world. Even they were online late, not forgetting that today was Thursday as well, Friday over there. I welcome Larissa, who got up late and reminded that this show was going to be live tonight with me and not to be replayed later today. So they were going to play it bright and early at 0600 hours there or 0800 hours there in Sochi in Semerfol, Russia. Hmm. Welcome. We want to welcome those people. Because there's a lot to be said out there, and I appreciate you bringing out the stories on Christopher Story, because I've been getting Marines around the world sending me emails concerning the arrest of, as you mentioned there in that last article from Story, the mention of Henry Kissinger overlapping several administrations. It sounds like, the first cousins are marrying the first cousins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And do we have any other documented evidence of any political officials being arrested or escorted anywhere? I mean, any pictures or knowledge?
Well, I haven't seen those, but he's been confirming via several different sources. You know, in Europe, he's talking to the Chinese authorities. He's talking to people in the World Court. You know, I reported on your show last week, and by the way, I want to pause for a moment and just give out an apology for those on the other networks that were waiting for the broadcast, but we were delayed tonight. We had a backlog of shows prior to this show's airtime, so just want to let you know that those things happen sometimes, and we kind of have to roll with the punches. Anyway, to go back to try to answer what you were saying. We're getting various reports here stateside. We kind of know what's going on because there are several of the recipient banks or financial institutions from the original investors in these prosperity programs that have been waiting for a number of years, and they almost have daily communications or daily updates as to what is going on, and it becomes a broken record after a while. You hear the packets have been released, they're on the way, be watching for them. Then they're returned back to the Treasury, then they're hidden at the White House, then they're taken to the Pentagon, This has been going on for several years, and they're tracking the attempts to hack into the accounts, trying to come up with the codes, because basically the packages themselves represent the means through which these various account holders are going to be able to access their funds. And this has been carried out by Bush 41, by Clinton, then Bush 43, and now by the long-legged Mac Daddy. So you have four administrations, and I should also say that Hillary Clinton is in this up to her scalp and has been from day one. Now, I get a lot of my information from Chris Story, but not exclusively. In fact, I can watch kind of what's going on and really pay attention to what's happening, and I can see various instances where the money is being laundered. And they're doing this, they're skimming off of derivatives, hedge funds, they're skimming off of public projects. It's all theft. It's massive financial theft. I can't underscore that enough. I can't put enough exclamation points at the end of the sentence to describe how massive it is. And I have found numerous examples, doing my own genealogical research on these clowns, that supports what Chris Story is saying, or that supports what Bob Chapman is saying. Bob Chapman, I see now, is starting to sort of dovetail. His information is dovetailing with this whole thing, okay? For a long time, he was almost standing back, and I'm not criticizing him. In my impression was that he was standing back and just focusing on market issues. But this is the biggest financial scam ever played on the planet, ever in the history of the planet. And it's being dealt with. People are being horizontalized, as Chris Story likes to call it.
Arkansized.
Yeah, or Arkansas, yes.
And, in Louisiana, we say gator bait.
Well, regardless, they're psychopathic. That's all I can say.
I believe that.
You know.
Well, you know, all of that brings me to mind of James Madison, quote, a government that does not trust its law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms is itself unworthy of trust. Well, you see, what they're trying to do is take our guns away from us. Therefore, you obviously must know that we shouldn't trust them.
Well, that's a given. Guns or not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without the statement of the guns. But I was not looking at it as the statement of the guns. I was looking at it a government that does not trust its law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms. It is of itself unworthy of trust.
Oh,
therefore,
yeah.
If the government is, if we can't trust our government, what are they going to do, ladies and gentlemen? They're going to come after your guns. That is one of the fathers of the Constitution of the United States and the fourth president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, they knew what was happening because they were going through the same thing in their day that we're going through now. The difference is they handled it.
You know, James Madison was very astute in all the observations. He sent the Marines to Tripoli to fight the Barbary pirates and ousted them. After the Marines were placed on board ship, and we're talking about ships with sails, ladies and gentlemen. We're not talking about any large ships. The complement of the USS Constitution, which is still a naval vessel, still on the naval books, even though it is anchored at harbor there in Boston, the USS Constitution had a complement naval force of only 150 men. But James Madison saw that, hey, these pirates are just about to rip us apart. We've got to rouse them. And he put 200 Marines, United States Marines, 200 Marines on board ship and took off half of the cannonballs so there could be enough food to feed the 350 men on board that ship and all of the ships of the realm of that time. And they went out to sea, and the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps fully got rid of the pirates. There were no more pirates. bothering United States flagship. It was the desire of all naval vessels to put the U.S. flag on their ships. Even during the War of 1812, other nations desired to hoist the American flag overseas because the Americans were the ones that had no fear and were the best shots. We're talking about rifles. When you shot a rifle in 1812, ladies and gentlemen, you had to turn around and reload it with powder, packing, and then the shell or the round ball. Marines were taught to load those single-shot rifles, load them, and fire them three times per minute. Three times per minute, ladies and gentlemen. You try to do that today, and you're nuts. But those guys in those days were trained. I mean, big-time trained. Of course, they got $25 a month for cosmetics, but that was just to make their hair white. So, what the heck? You know, $25 is $25. I mean, to tell you, especially in those days, when they only got a pay. $30 a month was their pay. $25 for cosmetics. And then the pay was, the cosmetics were dropped in 1814, did away with, and the pay for the Marines was a straight $55 a month, almost $2 a day, which was exorbitant amount of money
mm-hmm.
for troops on the, that were on land. And you can imagine some of these sailors and some of these Marines would come in off from sea after being there for 3 months, they'd have a couple of $100. And you could go out and buy 20 acres of land. 20 acres of land in 1812. You could buy it for $50. Stop and think about that.
You know? Almost do that today now, the way they ran the real estate industry into the ground.
Well, try to tell that to the tax people. They raise our taxes going and coming, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's a game.
And I got a remarkable statement for you. You know, everybody out here talks about, well, you know, Don Nikoloff does a lot of research and finds out this thing. I got something remarkable here, ladies and gentlemen. It's so remarkable, it makes my blood boil. You know, the United States puts out this falsity that we have a free press, an independent press. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it so remarkable that the press of the United States can find every woman with whom Tiger Woods has had an affair with in the last few years, with photos, text messages, recorded phone calls, etc., 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 even the color of the nighty gown that he bought. You know, they know not only the cause of the family fight that Tiger was involved in that brought this whole thing to fruition, this whole sordid affair, but they even know that it was a wedge from his own golf bag that his wife used to break out the back windows and not a club. Not only do they know that which wedge it was, okay, this is the same press, ladies and gentlemen. This is the same press that can't locate Obama's birth certificate or any of his papers while he was in college. Well, wait a minute. This is the same press that won't even bother to look. They also can't find anybody that he went to school with, but they won't report it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same press that goes transparent in Washington, D.C., with all of the meetings and the fraud that's been going on in Washington, D.C., the NAMBLA, the pedophiles, the homosexuality, the adultery. Even there's women out there that are coming forth today admitting as children, when they were children, 14, 15 years old, that Teddy Kennedy made advances at them and tried to sexually seduce them when they were 13 and 14 years old. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking 30 years ago when Kennedy was in his 40s trying to sexually molest the daughters of other congressmen and senators and statesmen. always wondered why a man that was a diplomatic career DAO, defense attaché officer, left the diplomatic corps after Kennedy visited the embassy and the man's home. And now, with all of these stories about Kennedy's pedophilia, I wonder if he attacked this man, one of the four daughters of this illustrious man who left the diplomatic corps and basically disappeared. He expatriated himself before I left the corps in 1977. He had a beautiful Japanese wife that I was a friend to, befriended. And she treated me like her son that she didn't have. And I treated her daughters like little sisters. I was just a 22-year-old punk. Her daughters were like 14. The oldest was 16. The youngest was 12. And I think back now and I wonder what Kennedy did to that family. And you don't hear stories about this. I can't prove anything. But we've got one of the greatest newspaper collective groups of citizens in the world. And their hands aren't tied. Why aren't they reporting this? Why aren't they reporting what Christopher Story is digging up? Instead, I get people that are renowned researchers that ignore Christopher Story. But tell me that all Christopher Story and Don Nikoloff are a bunch of hooies. They're lying. I got news for you. I've been down the rabbit hole. Every time I get down a rabbit hole, I find some steam shovel down there that Don Nikoloff has broke down already. His tracks are all over the place. I know the man's out there digging around. So, people, you got to understand, Don Nikoloff is, when I tell you that Don Nikoloff is the Thomas Paine of the 21st century, somebody's got to report the truth. Somebody, even if it does hurt. I can handle being hurt. I can handle friendship being destroyed because of misunderstanding. I can handle friendship being destroyed by lies and innuendos. I can't handle lies that are covering up or somebody tell me that they like me or they care about me, but behind my back they call me everything but a white man or an American Indian. Either one of those I'm proud to be called. I'm proud to be called a Ukrainian. And why do I say that? Because my ancestors came from the Ukraine, the eastern Ukraine, came across the Alps through the Caucasian Mountains, joined forces with the French, fought off the Russians, fought off the Prussians, fought off the Cossacks. My ancestors have been in the military all the way back to 1014. They've been in the king's courts of four countries. They fought alongside great men, such men as George Washington as a bodyguard, an ancestor in 1066, came across the channel with one of the largest armies that ever set foot on England and was the last army to defeat the British Saxons and intermingle the French, intermingle with the Saxons. And he was awarded over 2,000 hectares of land in Wales. His brother his son was given 1,000 hectares in Scotland. His grandson took up 1,000 hectares of land in Ireland. Those are my ancestors, ladies and gentlemen. I am a United States Marine, and I'm not going to go quietly in the night, and I'm not going to allow somebody out here to continue the lies and innuendos. We're at a point, ladies and gentlemen, that America needs to take, Americans need to take America back, and that's U.S. America. I'm not talking about Canadian America. I'm not talking about Mexico America. I'm not talking about Honduras America. I'm talking about the U.S. America. Many of you are so arrogant, so naive to believe that you're an American and a Mexican is not an American. Mexico is in North America just like the United States is. We're the United States of America, not the United States. The United States could be Europe because of the European Union, as they call it, but it's all independent states. But that's what they're doing over there. They're trying to bring forth a United States in Europe, and they're calling it, and not the United States, they're calling it the European Union, just another name of United States. Individual, independent republic states. That's what Germany and France and the Netherlands, and as well as others, they're all states. And yet they want to be a European Union as a United States? Think about it. Just look at the movie industry that has been masturbated out there by some cabal of evil. Back in the 20s and the 30s and even into the 40s, there were a number of film production companies. Not one or two or three or four, but 30 or 40 or 50. And they made movies. A lot of the movies were B-rated movies, as we call them today, but they were prime movies in the 1930s. Tom Mix was one. John Wayne made a number of cowboy westerns in the 30s, and they're all related to as B-movies because they were less than an hour, mostly 40 minutes, made on a shoestring budget. But very cute individual movies. Lots of morals. Lots of morals. And you watch some of the westerns that James Arnaz and John Wayne and Gabby Hayes played in. And you hear the morals from those stories. Some of the morals were what? Well, the right to keep and bear arms. The right to be an independent sovereign nation, i.e. Kansas. Matt Dillon chased the robbers all the way to the border of Kansas with Oklahoma in the Indian territories. And when they went across the state line, he made the comment in one of his Western TV shows. My jurisdiction stopped here. I can't go any further. And the bounty hunter said, my jurisdiction is everywhere. The United States Army is depicted with a cavalry unit going to the border of Mexico and advising the Western Star, John Wayne, my jurisdiction stops here. I cannot go any further. Louis L'Amour. Many people read Louis L'Amour paperback books. They were basically a quart when I was growing up, and they were as cheap as a dime when I was like 6 and 7 and 8 years old. I had a collection of them, small paperback books, 110 pages, excitement, love, drama, shoot 'em ups, respect, and with a constitutional flavor. But it didn't say constitution. It just talked about the rights that people had. The sheriff wouldn't go into a man's home and make sure that the bad guy was in the home without going to see the judge to get a search warrant. And the search warrant specifically said that he was looking for a specific bad guy. And he would give the bad guy's description along with his name. And they would walk through the entire house, just opening the doors and looking through and looking and looking and looking and not finding him. Many people don't know that Louis L'Amour wrote several detective novels of modern era. Basically looking at the Shamma stories of the 50s. He did two very, very, very succinctly that I remember that I still have. And in those detective stories, the detective was not barred from going into a home and seeing something was there, but the police department was. And when the police department came in later with a specific search warrant to look for a gun, the warrant said they were looking for a 38 caliber, and it would be stored in and out of sight. But the police didn't ransack the house like they do today. They didn't look in they didn't go through the dishwasher and the washing machine, but they searched the bedroom. They pulled the drawers out and looked in the drawers. These are written there by Louis L'Amour. Louis L'Amour was the researcher of the 50s and the 60s, the 40s. He wrote about history. Louis L'Amour practiced what he wrote. He went out and worked in a gold mine in Nevada. He worked in a gold mine in Utah. Have you seen a gold mine, ladies and gentlemen? Have you gone and even tried to work a gold field? Or how about a gemstone field? Or do you even know that there are two gemstone fields in the United States of America? One is located in Nevada. One is located in Arkansas. The one in Nevada does not have any diamonds at all, but it does have gemstones. And the one in Arkansas is the only diamond mine in North America. And you pay a fee to go into the national park. And you can go in all day long. Any diamond you find is yours. You don't have to pay a tax on it. It's yours. It's free. You pay your $2.50 admission. You can buy you a pan. And you can go out there and dig all you want, wash off the rocks, and see if you discover something. And every once in a while, somebody will find a nice little diamond worth $10,000, $20,000. The most expensive one found to date that I know of was $55,000. And the man was retired. He was a retired Navy boy, 58 years old. Driving a motor home, a raggedy old motor home, because it was cheaper to drive the motor home. And the comment in the newspaper was he was going to buy him a new motor home. This was like 15 years ago, 16 years ago. A motor home, a real expensive mobile home, at that time for the common person in America ran about $80,000. But we've lost all this. We've lost the right to get out and research. Don Nikoloff has dug it back up. He is an inspiration to Informational Freedom Network. Dr. A. Truott is another example of a person that gets down and digs around into the rabbit hole on the atrocities that are going on. Are you guys listening out there around the world? Do you care about your heritage? About what this country has come to? Here it is, December. How many of you have even taken the time in the last 3 or 4 years to listen to me to tell you to prepare year in and year out, telling you, learn how to put a garden in? And I brought people like Lynn Pence in to teach you how to do square foot gardening. Learn how to keep your garden flourishing by natural pollination. And I brought in a friend of mine up here in Russellville, Arkansas, Paul Humphrey, who's an apiarist. He's not a big farmer, a big beekeeper. He's got about 30 hives. I got a friend in Shreveport, Louisiana, Stan Hummer, God bless his soul, who put together as a major in the United States Air Force, as a hobby, several hundred hives of bees in the marshlands of Caddo Parish and Bossier Parish along the Red River. He got together with the fire department and would go out and get beehives that were in homes. His son inherited that bee operation, and now his son has over 15,000 hives. His son, the beehive business sent Stan's daughter, son, and youngest daughter, paid for their colleges in business, in nursing, put clothes on their back, even though he was retired Air Force, paid for his home, and died at a really young age at 57 years old. But he didn't die because he didn't have work ethics. He died because he came from a long line of heritage of heart disease problems. And he didn't know it. He didn't feel that he was going to be susceptible, because within 3 months of his death, he had gone in for a checkup and was in perfect health. You don't know when your time has come. Stan's time came and he's passed. But he left a legacy in my heart that his family doesn't even know. And what is that legacy? Is be prepared for the future. Regardless of how bad things are or seem to be, he always smiled. Stan always cared. He always had an extra dollar for somebody. He took care of his family. He taught other people if they wanted to know the apiarist business, beekeeping, he would teach them. He was teaching me when I moved into Arkansas. I've got a lot of knowledge there, never been able to exercise. My friend in Russellville lives a little bit too far away from me. Paul has told me many times if I would travel back and forth, well, he's 80 miles from me. I don't have the financial funds to be driving that distance on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. But I talked to him. You've got to spend some money to be prepared, and you need the bees to pollinate your garden. You need Lynn Pence's information to grow your own vegetables. And you've got to learn how to combine the foods that you grow. I just learned here 2 weeks ago from Dr. Wayne Pickering. You heard Dr. Wayne Pickering on A True Watch Show. You hear him on my show once a week. And what did I learn? I learned one fantastic thing. Don't eat potatoes with meat. Don't eat potatoes with meat. If you're eating meat like a steak, a pork chop, and you've got to have those, if you want to eat those protein foods, you eat green vegetables, not potatoes. If you're trying to lose weight, don't eat potatoes. It's a starch. Stay away from white bread. The whiter the bread, the bigger the spread. It's a proven fact. And if you want to make it worse, put some white sugar on the bread. You want to be a whiter spread and get a king-size spread? Eat white bread with butter and sugar. But if you're going through boot camp, United States Marine Corps style, you need that extra energy, and you haven't had anything sweet, you take a slice of white bread, you smear it with all the butter you can get your hands on, and pack on the sugar, because they'll put sugar on the table for your coffee. But I learned how to make a banana sweet roll every morning, a bread sweet roll every morning. Because I would get two slices of toast and two slices of plain bread. I could have all the bread I wanted when I went through the mess line. And I did that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I came out of the Marine Corps weighing 206 pounds. Arnold Schwarzenegger would dream for the body that I had. I was barely 19 years old. I went into the Marine Corps at 215 as a football player from LSU. I was in darn good shape. I lost 7 pounds. My body index was probably 0.15 on fat level. When I came home that Christmas, my mother hugged me as I got off the plane there at Shreveport Regional Airport, and she said, "Damn, you're like a brick. You can get that way at any age, ladies and gentlemen, but it takes mindset. It takes knowledge. It takes perseverance. You can't tell yourself you're going to go on a diet and eat potatoes and bread and all the white foods out there that you need to be staying away from, like rice. In the coming months, we're going to be set aside to live off the land and off what we have. Have you prepared the freeze-dried guy foods? Have you purchased freeze-dried guy foods and tried to cook it yet? That's like buying a car and letting it sit in the driveway with a full tank of gas and you've never driven it before. Because you didn't need it, because the trolley came right by your house and it only cost you a quarter to drive, to take the trolley down to work with a round trip ticket. It was 35 cents. And the car sat there. You never drove it. And then one day the trolley didn't stop and it didn't run. They were on strike. And you went and got in the car, and before you got out of the driveway, you took out the neighbor's fence, and you ran into the side of your house. And when you got out to the street, you had a ding on the telephone pole. if you've got the seeds, and you've never planted them, you're in a deep doo-doo. If you've got heirloom seeds, and you don't know how to save the seeds from what you grow, you're in deep doo-doo. You got 1 year supply of food, maybe. And how many of you know where to get heirloom seeds? Many of you out there are buying it from some of these Patriot for Profits at an exorbitant amount of money. I got a friend that paid, I got a friend, he's not a friend, I got a listener who called me on the phone 3 months ago crying all the, I mean, well, he wasn't crying, but he was giving me the crybaby tear bar attitude because he had paid $170 from some seeds from this dude out in Kansas. He listened to my show and found out, wait a minute, you know, old Drew's got, he knows a lot about heirloom seeds. I wonder if he could tell me if I've got a good buy. And I told him, no way. He paid $168 for something he could have paid $55 for. For another $20, he could have had twice the amount of seeds, and it's called a Victory Garden seed pack. Type it in your search engine. Look for it. But you don't have to buy the Victory Garden seed pack. Don't buy vegetable seeds that you don't eat. Don't buy vegetable seeds that you're allergic to. If you don't eat corn on the cob, don't buy the seeds. If you don't buy potatoes, don't buy potato seeds. And those of you that know what potato seeds are, they're little bitty potatoes and they're called seed potatoes. But you've got to nourish the land. You've got to make sure you've got the right soil. It's like buying a razor, ladies and gentlemen, and not putting blades in it to shave your face. You just plug it in the wall, you charge it up, and then all of a sudden you find out, well, wait a minute, I was supposed to have buy a set of blades to go in here too. It didn't come with it. Or buying a flashlight and thinking that, oh, well, I stocked up five flashlights there in the garage. And all of a sudden the ice storm comes. And there's no power. And you got one candle. You light the candle with the last book of matches that you got, and you go out in the garage, and, oh, God bless you, I found the flashlight, and you hit the switch, and you find out, wait a minute, I didn't get any batteries. That's what's going to happen in the next 6 months, ladies and gentlemen, if this nation goes to hell in a handbasket, which is very possible. We're going to go into a travesty of what's going, of what has already happened, and we got a good look-see, a preview of events in Yugoslavia, Herzegovina. George Washington told us to stay out of Europe 110 years ago in his farewell address, coming up here 110 years ago in 4 months, just 4 months from now. George Washington's farewell address will be 110 years old. And in that address, he said, stay out of the European problems. But he did not, when he said the European problems, he meant the Middle East as well, in North Africa, Persia. For 10,000 years, there have been fighting from Persia to England, from Prussia to Greece, and North Africa. For 10,000 years. Do you think that the United States is going to go in there and stop it? You've got your head up your posterior. The only thing the United States is doing is having their young men and their young women die in battle. Oh, yes, I hear you. I hear you, Doug. Doug sent me an IM, and he says it's not just young men and young women, it's older men and older men. Yes, we have a 57-year-old Fulberg colonel that was killed just a few weeks ago. We have a 56-year-old master sergeant that was killed 3 months ago. We've had over 47 men and 2 women over the age of 40 die in the Iraqi war. But ladies and gentlemen, the vast majority are 18, 19, and 20 years old. And Obama, who said that he wanted to stop this war and pull out, is escalating the war. Just like Johnson and his cronies did in Vietnam. President Kennedy, Jack Kennedy, John Fitzgerald Kennedy was going to pull the military out. The Marine Corps had already been given the executive order that all Marines would be out of Vietnam no later than March 30th, 1964. The order was dated October the 10th. 1963. All Army personnel would be out of Vietnam by June 1964. Same order. All Air Force personnel would be out by January the 1st, 1964. An executive order bringing back the Coast Guard, and many people don't know the United States Coast Guard was in Vietnam, was signed on November the 3rd, 1963. 18 days later, John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated. He was moving too fast because he had a brother as the Attorney General, and the two of them were bringing justice back to the judicial society, bringing truth back to the American people, and getting fed up with all the secrets. His advice, let them fight in Southeast Asia. His advice to Israel, go jump in the lake. We've given you money. And you've been masturbating it out there to cause more trouble and more armament. Executive order November the 16th, 5 days before his assassination. John Fitzgerald Kennedy probably was the most hated president since Abraham Lincoln in the southern states. But in actuality, John Fitzgerald Kennedy was looking out for the liberty of all people. It took me 10 years from his death to realize in 1973 that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was truly assassinated by a cabal of evil, not by a lone gunman. And that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was truly a man looking for liberty for the American people. I was disgusted with his immorality, his adultery. And if I had known of his adulterous affairs, I would have done exactly like any other man. I'd have slapped him in the face. I would have called him not fit to be the president. But in all honesty, here I am at the age of 62 years old, ladies and gentlemen, just a few short weeks away from being 62. And John Fitzgerald Kennedy has been the best president in my lifetime since 1948. Not the most moral, but the best president in his 3 short years. And it's really his 2 short years. A lot of you will disagree and say Ronald Reagan was. Ronald Reagan has got some great flaws that many of you don't know and you haven't discussed because of Ronald Reagan sold us out with a few things there in the last 3 years of his presidency. But maybe, just maybe, Ronald Reagan wasn't the man in the last 3 years of the presidency. He may not have had his mental capacities. But sometime after the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan got fear in his eyes. You saw it. Just look at some of the film clips of pre-President Reagan and right after the attempted assassination. You could see it in his eyes. John Fitzgerald Kennedy wanted to bring forth Operation Blue Book to the American people and explain to the American people that the United States government was in contact with some alien beings from another planet. That's been squashed, eradicated from the books, or prevented from being discussed or brought forth. Ronald Reagan wanted to do the same thing, and he made the comments that he was going to do the same thing. But just a few short weeks into the presidency, they attempted to assassinate him and put who in office? George Herbert Walker Bush, ladies and gentlemen, and the rest is history. George Herbert Walker Bush served as vice president for 8 years, the former CIA director. George Herbert Walker Bush is an evil man, was an evil man when he was in CIA. George Herbert Walker Bush, you can't even prove and document where the man came from.
Well, I
did. You can't find high school kids that went to school with him. You can't. The man's still alive today and ruling with a velvet glove and a big fist. Behind the scenes with Henry Kissinger. You don't have to take my report. Ask Don Nikoloff. The maintenance of the right to keep and bear arms is the most essential one to every free people and should not be withered down by technical constructions. State versus Kerner, 181 North Carolina, 574, Southeast, 107 Southeast, 222, 1921. From the state of Arkansas, Wilson versus the state of Arkansas, 33 Arkansas 557 at page 560, 1878, quote, to prohibit a citizen from wearing or carrying a war arm is an unwarranted restriction upon the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. If cowardly, and dishonorable men sometimes shoot unarmed men with army pistols or guns or rifles, the evil must be prevented by the penitentiary and the gallows, not by a general depravation of constitutional privilege, unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to dig into your law books and find the truth. This case, 33 Arkansas 557 at 560, 1878, saved me from being put in prison for a year for carrying a pistol in my pickup truck, as well as another law on the books in Arkansas that gives every citizen in the state of Arkansas the right to keep and bear arms in their immediate vicinity if they are traveling 25 miles outside their home. I was arrested and placed in jail for 4 days over Easter weekend. You want to see how evil government is? I stood up to the government and I fought it. They didn't even pursue it after I went into the municipal court and beat them with these cases. Hands down, the two judges, both of them, one gave me my pickup truck back because it didn't have a tag on it, because it was personal property, it was mine. And one judge gave me my gun back. My only failure was that I did not know it because I had done my research, but I did not know that I could have sued the state and the judges would have awarded my cost and attorney fees. For all the hours of research that I spent in the law library to find those two cases, for all the documents in the paper that I put before the judges, cost me over $300. I had 20 lawyers get in touch with me asking me, well, we'll defend you for $1,500 to $2,000. And if you go to trial, for every trial we go to, it'll cost you $1,000 more. I did it all myself for $350 in research and payment. Of course, I didn't get paid for the hours of research at $200 an hour that I should have been paid, but I didn't know it. It all comes back to growing the seeds. You can buy the watermelon seeds, but if you've never grown them, do you know how to plant them? Do you know how to water them? Do you know what kind of soil to use? You can have all the tomato seeds, spinach, squash, asparagus. If you don't know how to put the water to it and the proper soil to it, they're not going to grow. You go into a courtroom, you don't go into a courtroom without the knowledge of what you're there for. And it's just like this nation. If you don't know the history of the nation, where we came from, how do you expect to go forward? We have sat back in apathy and allowed the cabal of evil to take over this nation, and they have the ear of extraterrestrials from other planets. So, you think I'm a loony? Turn the dial! I got Marines around the world that see flying saucers or extraterrestrial flying craft, unexplained flying events, flying in V-shape like a lot of ducks from horizon to horizon in less than 2 seconds. That's not ducks. There's no quacking. There's no whoosh. They see it. Local papers report it in Mexico City, in Caracas, in Ipanema, in Brasilia. Front headline papers with photos. But you don't see it in America, the United States of America. You don't see it in Canadian papers. You don't see it anywhere north of the Mexican border. You'll see it in the Mexican newspapers. How many Americans speak Spanish? It's like Christopher Story. He digs deep, writes articles, much like Don Nikoloff. And Christopher Story is called a liar, a manipulator, a plagiarizing writer. But can you even think about proving him wrong? I know I get the argument all the time from Frank Whalen, you can't prove a negative. And that's true. Even my professors who are pushing up daisies or tulips or just plain grass taught me that you can't, by any way, shape, or form, dispute or prove a negative. Common sense will tell you that when 70% of the people of America are saying, sir, no, sir, I don't want to have anything to do with this Obamacare bill. Hell no, it's not for me. It's not for we the people. 70% of the people of the United States of America are saying, hell no, we don't want this no more. They are reiterating network, the movie network. Just like the Tom Mix movies, the John Wayne movies of the 30s, where the morals were brought forth, network showed you the truth. Told you about it. Watch the movie again with knowledge. Drag your Bible out and read it. Don't be like the third grader at the elementary school that the principal kicked her out of school because she brought her Bible to school. WorldNet Daily reported that yesterday. How about the high school student that was suspended for 7 days for telling the raghead to take her hat off for the Pledge of Allegiance of the United States of America? Don Nikoloff interviewed her on this show. Her name was Heather Lawrence. How many of you remember her? Or has she just gone? Has she got her 18 minutes of fame and disappeared? No, not out of my book. I'm trying to unite with Marines around the United States to find a way to raise scholarship money to get her in college because she deserves to be an officer. She comes from a very low middle-class family. Her father is a former United States Marine, Gulf War I. She's a brave woman, but the school and the school board made a racist accusation out of it. And she never said, take the hat off. She says she told the girl to stand up, just to stand up in honor, because Marines and Army and Navy personnel were dying in the Middle East so that song could be sung and heard and people in America could live free. Many of you think I talk about wide subjects and bring out, and it all sounds like a bunch of mashed potatoes with peas and carrots all switched in. But in actuality, ladies and gentlemen, it's all orange juice. It's all married together. The history brings it forth together. The knowledge brings it together. Your body will heal itself if you've got the food in it, the nutrients. And where do you get the food? You should be growing it. Where do you get the nutrients that you need for the remedies from herbs? You can buy herbs and you can grow herbs. You can buy and grow herbs. But have you bothered to take the phone number down of my master herbalist or any master herbalist? Right now on Informational Freedom Networks, there are two herbalists out there that are getting recognition. My master herbalist business is up sixfold because she grows her own herbs right there on her 20 acres in the state of Maine. She's working her heart out 8, 12, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And tomorrow or Saturday is the last day for mailing. Mary Jo Mondello owns her Maine Coast Herbals, and 80% of her herbs comes out of the field because she's learned and she's educated herself and gone to school, graduated with highest honors to become a master herbalist. She is on her master's degree now to become the next level of a senior master herbalist. Wendy Wilson comes on the air on three networks with her own one-hour show. Twice a week on The American Voice. Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on GCN. She makes her own herbs from 100% organic herbs that she buys, but they are certified 100% organic. And on Don Nikoloff's show, he brings forth another master herbalist on this network. Are you listening to these men and women? Do you care about your health? Do you care about your fellow brother? Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are 10 laws of the land that if we abided by those 10 laws, we don't need the Uniform Commercial Code. We don't need the United States Code of the United States Code of Federal Regulations. There are 10 laws out there that God gave us. Our morals are listed there. And God tells us to put to death anyone if there are two witnesses witnessing a rape or murder. We're not to judge them. We are to send them to Him. How do you send them to Him? You put them on the gallows. But you don't put them on the gallows to send them to Lord Almighty God Creator unless there are two witnesses. Not a DNA test. Two witnesses. Real witnesses. Two witnesses. There's going to be two witnesses come forth in the next few years, if not sooner, the next few months. They're listed in the Bible because our world is collapsing on itself with the immorality. You can turn on the idiot box. You can go to the computer and you can get all the pornography you want. You voted for change because you wouldn't network with your neighbors to say, hell no, I don't want this man in office. Well, you got change. You got a NAMLA pedophile running the school system, or czar, that's teaching our children in the third, first, second grades how to masturbate in the children's laboratories. And those of you in the South that don't know what a laboratory is, it's an outhouse or the bathroom for the John or the head. If you're in the Marine Corps. But yes, he advocates children masturbating. He advocates seventh graders sleeping with seventh graders of the same sex. He has no problem with a 40-year-old man having sex with a 13-year-old boy. He has no problem with a 56-year-old man seducing a 15-year-old girl over the internet. And what does that have to do with all the tea in China and growing herbs and food? It's all about secrecy, knowledge. I can bring you the orange juice. I cannot make you drink it. God can bring you the water of purity. But you are the one that's going to dirty it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have ranted for almost an hour and 20 minutes. And how many of you have turned the dial? How many of you have tuned in? How many of you are going to network with your friends? All I can do is pray that you will network with your friends on the truth. And understand, there are commercials out there that talk about how bad our troops have it. And call this organization and pay them money to teach you how to talk to your son and daughter that's coming back from Iraq or Iran with an arm missing or a hand missing or a leg missing or an eye missing or just mental problems. And all I'm going to tell you is what you need to do is grab a hold of that son and daughter at the breakfast table. Don't offer them the newspaper. Don't fix them breakfast. Grab a hold of those men and those women and put them in your arms. Hold them tight. Hug them. Cry on their shoulder and tell them you love them. Tell them that you love them. And it's for them to talk to you about the atrocities that they were forced to do and did. I went through it. I stayed in the Marine Corps because I was a messed up SOB. Thank God the doctors in the Navy, they treated me and I came out a better man. One nurse particularly sat at my bedside. When I opened my eyes, tears ran down hers. The first thing out of my mouth was, "Would you hug me, please?" I can still feel the arms of that woman, 35, 36 years old, hugging me as a 21-year-old Marine. My mother was only 42, and this lady was about 36 or 37. And she saw in me the son that she didn't have anymore because he had been killed in Vietnam. I was fortunate. I lived through it. And the doctors and the nurses took care of my mental problems because they hugged me. They shook my hands. They rattled my cage and told me to talk about it. Not openly to 40 or 50 people or 20 or 30, to them one-on-one privately. And I cried. Roy Orbison's song comes to mind because I played it till I could almost recite every word. War is a racket. War is evil. War is a necessity for the protection of your nation. You keep allowing all of this cabal to continue, and Lord Almighty God is going to put His wrath on this nation. You cannot step back and not do something. If you do, you are going to wallow in the cesspool and quagmire of the filth that is here now. The big churches are not going to help you. They are putting pedophiles in the pulpits, homosexuals in the pulpits, thinking that that's God's word. That's wrong. It's time to stand up and say, sir, no, sir. The war in the Middle East is wrong. Sir, no, sir. Vaccinations are wrong. Sir, no, sir. The 9/11 Commission is wrong. Sir, no, sir. Let's have an investigation. Thank God a Navy SEAL's got the guts to stand up, but he also has the clout as a governor. Even though he's not the active governor now, he is the former governor of Minnesota. He's got his own radio TV show, and he's doing investigations on the conspiracy theories. He's not looking at the JFK or the Eisenhower conspiracy theories. He's looking at what's going on right now. You got to know the history. And that's what Don Nikoloff is up to. Jesse Ventura is looking up now. And what is all of this about, ladies and gentlemen, as I shut my mouth here and calm down? It's going to be 1789 pretty soon. And my personal conviction is, take them all out. Sweep him up, sweep them away. Shame them. And let's take our Constitution. We don't need a new one. We need to take the one we got and define it better. Mandate it better. More succinctly, put the rights in there better. And forever keep the lawyers out of the congressional committees and out of the United States Senate. The lawyers are for the judges. And no judge should sit on the bench for life. He should be appointed, yes, so that there is no political party favors. But not for life. For a maximum of 10 years. Or even less. When a man goes into public office, he shouldn't come out a multimillionaire. Obviously, there's something wrong when a man runs for Congress and the most money he's ever made in 1 year is $38,000. And 25 years later, he has amassed, as a U.S. congressman, $48 million. Or as the Secretary of Treasury, never worked in private practice, in practice law, in private practice at all, but he's amassed a small fortune of $80 million. And he owes taxes on $20 million in penalties. And is he in jail? He owes $20 million in taxes over the course of 15 years. And he's the Secretary of Treasury? Mr. and Mrs. Brown only owed $150,000, and they're sitting in jail serving 10 years for failure to pay taxes. And their home's been taken away from them, and their cars have been taken away from them. Larry Beecraft ought to be ashamed of himself for attempting to represent them. He sold them out. I'm going to turn the show back over to Don Nikoloff, the man that really does do the research. And you are honored on BBS Radio to have such a man to come on this network 5 nights a week and heard around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. Sometimes not live. Most of the time it's replays. Most of the time it is a group of the best of the best. But Don Nikoloff has entertaining guests, such as the girl from England who's got such a beautiful voice, all the way to an electronic engineer who has hinted that in his basement or in his laboratory, within the coming months or the coming years, he may be able to have you producing your own electricity for your house. Everybody talks about free electricity. And as I turn the show back over to Don Nikoloff, I'm going to leave this one thought. I'm a master electronic engineer from the United States Marine Corps. I have three patents. I got one patent pending and two patents on saving energy. But it's mostly about protecting your products, your electrical products. We should be paying the Arabs for oil. We should be driving electric cars. We should have airplanes even that run on electric batteries, electric generators that can be developed no bigger than a shoebox. And we don't, because of secrets. It's time to get rid of the secrets. And Don Nikoloff, he does a darn good job with a steam shovel going down the rabbit holes, looking for where Alice dropped her purse in Wonderland. And I'm afraid when he opens the purse, he's going to find the perdition. Already been there, eating away. Thank you, Don, for allowing me to rant.
Drew, you're quite welcome. If there was anything that I could have interjected, I probably would have interfered with what... let's put it that way. I just wanted to say, I hope I got my lines right. let me expound on a couple of things that you said here before we wrap up the show for the night. We got a couple of minutes. We got a late start tonight. So, you mentioned just at the tail end of your message, and I just want to bring this up because this is typical of the types of lies that we're told while they're extorting billions of dollars every quarter of the year from our pockets so that we can get to work, so that we can go shopping, and so we can take our kids to school, pick them up, and maybe if we're lucky, once a year, go someplace other than the regular routine. Most call it a vacation. I haven't had a vacation in about 40 years. My life is too interesting to muddy it up with a vacation. That's just my personal preference. But when I think about the price that we pay for petroleum products, and I recall a conversation when I first went on the road in music as a professional musician in 1973, I talked to a tanker driver that was delivering a load of gasoline at a gas station in my hometown. And I was about to embark upon a cross-country trip, and we were in the middle of a several-day blizzard, and we already had 3 feet on the ground. Snow plows weren't running, and I had to be someplace, okay? And I was asking him about the roads, and then somehow we started talking about this oil embargo. And I think you, the listeners, and you, Drew, certainly remember when that first started. Nixon was president during that time, and none of it made any sense. And this driver said, you know, this is really crazy that they're doing this to us. He said, Sunoco has currently, this was in 1973, enough refined gasoline. He says it's in granite tanks. And he said in Arizona was his exact words. Enough has been refined to last this country 100 years right now. Why is there an oil embargo? Now, and you brought this up on your show today, this very issue. In fact, it was much more. This is what he knew. But it was much more, hundreds of years more than that. A couple of years ago, there was a find. Of course, we know about the size of the find in the Prudhoe Bay region. Even Lindsay Williams told us about that on this show several times and on many other shows. And he talked about the intention of the oil companies to raise the cost of oil by 2008 up to $5. I should say the cost of gasoline up to $5 a gallon. And that later on, maybe by 2010, we would see prices up to or in excess of $8 a gallon. No reason for that. On the heels of a 2 trillion barrel find. Now, this is shale oil. 2 trillion barrels, the Green River find in Colorado. Now, you've heard me ask the rhetorical question, how long it takes to count a second at a time, up to a trillion. And Don Harkins had calculated this one day, 31,710 years. 31,710 years to count up to a trillion. And they had 2 trillion barrels of oil. How long would that last? And let's say that was the only possibility of producing energy to drive automobiles. How crucial, how critical that would be that we would have that oil. And I'm not saying that we should. I think oil is the most bass-ackwards way to produce energy. They want to cry about us using the oil, using the oil products, and creating pollution when it's their invention. It's their system. So the insanity and the duplicity and the propaganda and the lies has run its course, as far as I'm concerned. And obviously, for the last hour and a half, you've let us know how you feel about it. And you've spoken for me, and you've spoken for millions of people around the world, even billions of people that don't have a voice to do that themselves, don't have the means to do it, don't even know we're doing it for them, or that you're doing it for them, but if they found out, they would stand up and applaud. Or they would do something to help you stay on the air. It's amazing what people take for granted. And I'm not asking people for money. I don't do that. We all need money to survive. I mean, that's part of the system. To survive in the system and be of it, you have to have money. Because they've created it to meter everything. Every activity that occurs on this planet has a way of channeling your productivity and your creativity, your blood, your sweat, and your tears into their pockets somehow. All the while telling us how awful we are, how disgusting we are, that we're lower than the lowest of animals. And these are the people we call our leaders. These are the people ruling the world. And there has to come a time when people wake up and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to put up with it for another second or a millisecond. So, Drew, you hit everything right on the head. See, I could go off on my own rant now, and we'd be here another hour and a half or 3 hours.
I looked at the clock, and I had to stop. I said, golly, I've been talking for an hour and 20 minutes. I got to shut up.
No, I'm getting text messages from listeners here. They're loving it, okay? And if I saw a need to interject something, I would have. I did on one occasion when you made the Bush comment, because I did tell everybody where he's from. He didn't. I did. Okay? And I'm going to do, and I did that with Obama and McCain, and I'm doing that with Eisenhower. And it has everything to do with what's going on today, as well as everything that's transpired since they put him in that position. They outdo themselves, even going back into history, they've outdone themselves. Even in the past, they've outdone themselves in the amount of corruption and deceit. And believe me, it's a slam dunk case. And yeah, there are going to be people out there that are very displeased that the truth is getting out. So I'm going to be called a liar. I'm going to be called a charlatan. You know, it doesn't change the fact that the truth's coming out. It's about them not wanting the truth to come out. That's it. All it is. You see, those that are blind and can't see, and those that don't have the ears to hear, are going to attack the messenger, aren't they? Isn't that always the case? They can't attack the message, so they attack the messenger. Fools that they are.
They've done a good job of attacking me, but what they messed up on is they failed to understand the term Semper Fi. And Wind Talkers Radio Network is nothing but a majority of former United States Marines around the world, some active duty. The majority have a radio station. Some just listen to the show, but they're members of Wind Talkers Radio Network with the idea of learning how everything is operating. I have trained 74 Marines on how to set up a radio show utilizing a computer, a headset, and a personal friend of mine by the name of Rick Romer and his own personal software on recording equipment, or not equipment, software, to be used strictly on a computer.
Yeah.
And Rick has assisted me in overcoming many obstacles over the last 15 years. And these Marines that are active duty are practicing, and I'm working with them, doing tests to show them how they can carry the torch of truth. Two of them have come forth and said if they take me out, that they're going to go on the air immediately, even though they're active duty Marines. They've already started talking with Larissa and Bobby because they fear that I'm going to be taken out. And I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. If they take me out, you're going to hear about it because it's going to be a big blast. I'm not going to go quietly in the night.
Well, then you must be doing something right, you see.
And they are attacking, and you're right. They attack them. They attack me. I got taken off of the American Voice Radio Network because I was bringing forth the fraud of a man selling seeds for $179, harping the fact that you could grow 15,000 pounds of seeds with his $175,000 or $175. Now he's talking about being part of his seed network. Well, wait a minute. There's a company out there that's already doing that, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. They network with real heirloom producers around the world, from Iraq to Brasilia. We don't need some upstart jerk that comes out of nowhere that tells everybody that he's been out of the system for 20 years, and then all of a sudden he's got five websites and he's selling seeds and other survival equipment at exorbitant amount of prices. Don, we have a problem in Informational Freedom Network. It's called greed. You and I go on the air. We don't ask people for money. We ask for donations occasionally. And I don't know how you make it, because I live on $250 a month, and if it wasn't for a couple of Marines and the few donations I get, you know, I would really be destitute and no radio.
Well, when you have God on your side, miracles happen all the time, you know?
That's a fact. That is a fact.
You see? And that is a reason to be stalked by the NSA and Homeland Security, because you're telling the truth about all kinds of things. Telling the truth.
The only time that I don't hear a clicking noise in the background when I make a phone call is when I'm talking to you on Skype to Skype, or talking to one of the Marines from Skype to Skype. My telephone, you ought to hear it. It's like, dit. Constantly. People call me up. What's that clicking noise in the background? It sounds like there's somebody out there recording your conversation.
Yeah. They're quite incompetent at that, too, aren't they?
Ain't they? Amen.
You know, I mean, it's a call sounds like you're in an echo chamber.
I was about to say, you ought to hear it when they got the echo, when they put the echo chamber on there. A minute, it's unreal. I've already pulled four bugs out of my house. I have to search my house anytime I'm gone for more than an hour. They got keys to my place. I don't even lock the doors anymore. There's no sense in it. They got their own set of keys. They just come in.
Well,
now I just got people watching them.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, I saw two guys come over in a black SUV the other day. I thought you left with a friend, but they walked right on your house. I tried to call you on the phone, but you wouldn't answer. What's the deal? Well, wait a minute. I wasn't here. I was out having lunch with Al, and we were gone for 3 hours. What time did they come in? Oh, about 11:15. Well, wait a minute. I left at 11 o'clock. That's why I thought it was funny. How long were they here? Oh, 30 minutes. What'd they take? Nothing. They just walked out. So I know that, ladies and gentlemen, you think all this is a bunch of BS. You get out here on the firing line. I guarantee you, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, Don. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. That's fine. You're telling it like it is, and people need to understand. They need to understand the sacrifices that are made in the process of bringing the truth out. And the least they can do is show some appreciation. You know, don't believe us. Do some research. Like you said, if you don't like the message, if you're not hearing the truth, turn the dial. Nobody's going to take offense. In fact, you make our job easier for us.
Amen.
You know, or you could make it easier by helping out. You read something that rings true, you send the message out to people. That's the stuff you send in emails. I'm getting tired of getting these emails of fear mongering and all the lies that are already out there. And nobody's using discernment. Nobody's really paying attention to what's going on. They're waiting for someone else to show them. Well, you might as well ask them to come and wipe your behind after you use the bathroom, tie your shoes in the morning, brush your teeth for you, comb your hair, and kick you out the door to do whatever you do. And I sound like I'm being vindictive. I'm not, really. Really, I'm not. But, I mean, where do you draw the line? All this research that we do, Drew, all the preparation for bringing this information to people, and they want us to explain something that they heard on some fear-mongering talk show host show. They want us our opinion about that. You know, I'm to the point where I can't even listen to a lot of the talk radio anymore. There's so much disinformation coming out.
And some of the shows I won't listen to because of the ranting and the fear that they put out. And it's like, it's going down Friday. It's going down Saturday. Get in your storm shelter. It's going to blow up. Give me a break.
Yeah. It's the same thing over and over. Planet X is coming here. You know, Project Blue Beam is happening now. If you know that these things are nothing but illusion, why give them the credibility to be anything other than that? You know, it's a very simple matter. But Drew, we got to close the show. It's been a pleasure for listening to you say what I feel and what I'm sure many listeners feel needs to be said. And when that happens, I know that spirit that takes over, because I've done it before. For a long time, I did it at least once a month. Sometimes two or three times a month.
Well, that rant was for Marianne Ponder.
Well, bless her soul.
God bless her, because she knew where I was coming from. She knew what it was all about, and by her constant nagging, she got three patriots out there that she saw that were really good, and needed them to get together, and that was Don Nikoloff, Greg Evenson, and Drew Raines. Two for fight and battle, and one for spiritual and investigation. My hat's off to you there, Don Nikoloff, Thomas Paine of the 21st century. I salute you.
Well, I appreciate the compliments. I still debate whether or not I'm a Thomas Paine. I'm just the messenger, you know.
That's what Thomas Paine was. He was just the messenger.
So, well, maybe he was the Don Nikoloff of his day.
He was the Don Nikoloff of the 1780s, my friend.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to let the listeners know that you can visit Drew Raine's website. There's a lot of stuff there, tons of stuff to look at, read, video
research,
links, audio archives, all kinds of research that he's got, not just his own, a lot of good stuff that he's gotten from other people. And his website is amd.elequity.com. And if you want to do it in military lingo for your listeners, go ahead, Drew.
Echo Lima, Equity, Quebec, Ulysses. What is it?
Wait,
India.
The AMD.
That's the Alpha Michael Delta. Alpha Michael Delta dot Echo Lima. Echo, Quebec, Ulysses, India, Tango, Yankee.com.
All right. And your show is A Marine's Disquisition, heard Monday through Friday on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com.
And those of you out there that are on the Internet, it's on blogtalkradio.com. If you're listening to a radio station broadcast, well, you don't need to know about Blog Talk Radio. Because
yeah.
Wind Talkers is independently owned, privately operated radio stations and micro broadcasters and low power radio stations around the world. I want to thank Fontenot for sending me an IM telling me, hey, I found Nikoloff, and we got you live, and it's you.
It is. That's right. That's more the truth, isn't it?
That's right. Fontenot happens to be located in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. Welcome to BBS Radio, Fontenot.
All right. Great. Well, Drew, we got to say goodnight, but I want to thank you, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of messages about your message tonight. And I want to let the listeners know that Drew Raines will be with us again next Thursday, and that's the 24th or the 25th, depending on your time zone. Drew, I want to wish you a great week. That's either going to be Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
No. Christ wasn't born on that day. That's that other day.
Well, I'm referring to the pagan holiday.
Oh, the pagan holiday, that's going to be Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, depending where you are around the world.
That's what I just said.
Okay.
All right. You have a good evening. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. One final time, amd.elequity.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world for carrying the show. Also, blogtalkradio.com. We also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow evening when our special guest will be our resident science advisor, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.